All right, just to give you a little update, you notice the projector's glitching again. We have finally narrowed it down. We've rewired everything, and we re-terminated everything, and we narrowed it down that the projector is going out. So we're ordering a new projector, and in a couple weeks, hopefully, the video glitches will be gone, at least the ones that we know of now. So just want to welcome you all here this morning. For those of you who are the first time, welcome. And I hope you're having a great day so far. We're looking for a great time this morning, and I want to just start by recapping a little bit about what we've been looking at the last couple weeks. And we've been talking about, see, we're never ever going to get all the glitches done, but when it comes up, we've been talking about breaking free from our past. There we go. And we've been in Colossians 3. And we've been talking a little bit about four different areas. The first one was looking up to where we're seated in the heavenlies, looking to Christ as our answer, looking to things that are outside of this world and not focusing on our flesh, and that way we can have the right perspective. Last week we talked about looking out. And we looked at a whole list of things that Paul said that are just not good things to have in our lives, not beneficial things. And we used the analogy of miry clay. And I want to spend just a minute clarifying some things that I love feedback. So if any of you ever have questions about the sermons or concerns or wondering, hey, did you really mean this when you said it? Please, by all means, call me, talk to me, because I want to come across really clear so that everybody has a good grasp of what grace theology for today is. And I don't know if it was my tone or maybe my passion or getting into the... Paul's very passionate in this passage in Colossians, and he's very strong about these sexual sins that we talked about last week, the pornography and immorality and the other ones we talked about. He's very passionate, and he pretty much says you shouldn't have them in your life. You know what? But the reality is sometimes we do. Sometimes we do have mud on us, if we want to go back to that metaphor. Sometimes we do step in it. Sometimes it gets on us, and that's okay. Doesn't mean that we're not good Christians or that we're not spiritually sound or we're not what it is. It's a process, and I want to make that clear to everybody. Even though Paul says there's no benefit from these things, and remember, our words to live by for this day is everything is lawful, but not everything is profitable. So instead of going, there's a list of do's and don'ts, it's more of a list of, is this profitable or is this not profitable for my life? And Paul pretty much says, these things that I list here, I guarantee you aren't profitable things. They're not going to produce good things in your life if you get into them. Getting mud all over you is never going to be beneficial. But as we work through our life and as we get in that relationship with the Spirit and as we get in that process of moving further and further and further to godliness and further and further and further in our relationship with Christ, and what that means all of a sudden the mud doesn't come as much as a focus. And it's easier to avoid the mud. It's easier. As a matter of fact, Harold gave me a thing. He said, sometimes it's like the mud turns into concrete. And all of a sudden, we don't have to worry about it anymore because those things become a distant past of who we were when we start living who we are in the Spirit. So I just wanted to make that really clear before we went on. I know that sometimes I can come across as just don't do it, because that's kind of how Paul feels when he's saying it. They're not worth anything. But when you're involved in it, when all of a sudden you're having a problem with pornography or you're having a problem with what you're watching on TV, when you're involved in it, you go, it's not that easy though, Mark. It's not that easy just to turn off the switch. And then I felt like maybe you might have thought that that's how I came across like last week. Like, if you're involved in it, just turn off the switch and get out of it. That would be great if it was that easy. But life always isn't that simple. but it's that process of getting your life in order so that you're striving, and the process is each week, each day, each year, you're getting closer and closer to that spiritual mature place. You know, I thought about another thing. There wouldn't be a whole lot of need if it was, I trust Christ as my Savior, and all of a sudden all these things just disappear out of my life. Well, then there really wouldn't be a need for qualifications for leadership in a church, would there? You wouldn't have nothing to strive for. You would have no goal to set. It would just be automatic, but it's not that way. So I just wanted to make that really clear so that when we're looking out, and Paul does say these things are not profitable at all. And I just do want to reiterate, if you are involved in these things, get into a process of getting out of it. Maybe it's not, maybe a better metaphor than turning off the switch is a dimmer. You know, how you can reach down and slowly turn it off. If that's what it takes in your life, that's okay. It doesn't have to be like that. Because a lot of times we hear a lot that if you're involved with this, you're out of, separated from God, and you just, and I've talked to many people that will say, then why do I bother? You know, if I looked at pornography and now I'm separated from God, why should I quit? And that's not what it is at all. And hopefully last week you really got it clear. There's nothing that can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Your salvation is secure. There's absolutely nothing that can separate us. No behavior, but it's about profitability. And as we move towards the Spirit and towards spiritual maturity, we want to get more and more profitable in our lives. More and more of what we do every day. And I wanted to make that clear. I hope that cleared up some things. And so again, I just want to reiterate that if you ever have a question, if I come across some way, call me and ask me and talk to me, because without that feedback, I wouldn't know that some people were going, it's not that easy. You made it sound like just turn off the switch. So thank you for that. Now we come to Colossians 3, 8, and 9. Now, the things that we talked about last week, Paul was very passionate about, and he said these are the things that are definitely not profitable in your life at all. You need to get those into a process to get them under control. You need to get into accountability with the church. You need to get into a program. Whatever it takes to get those things out of your life is what you need to do. Now, he kind of changes the flavor here on these next things, and he says, but now you yourselves are to put off. Okay, this is the self-examination. This is the looking in. Okay, we have things that we need to look out for that are bombarding us with the flesh. He says, like, that'll eat your lunch. Now, these are the things that he says, now this is kind of a self-examination time. This is the time to look in and see where you are with these different things. And you know what? You know what the great thing about grace is? I might not have an issue with certain things. I may be able to go into a bar and sit down and have a drink and that not be an issue for me. But for you, maybe it isn't. Or for me, we have to look again at the profitability and where we are with the Spirit in the things that we choose to do. And that's the same process when we look at these things. I'm going to introduce to you a metaphor for today. How many of you have gone camping? Camping. How many of you have gone camping? Have been up or and gone any place where you were around a campfire? Okay, some of you, a lot of you. Anyways, being involved in scouts and being an outdoorsman, I've been around campfires a lot. And I'll spend sometimes a week going to a campfire, like at our church campouts, we have those campfires. Well, how many of you have ever gone on a camping trip and then come back and grabbed your suitcase and went, you know, I didn't wear this, and I didn't wear this, and this, and this, and you just took it and put it back in your drawer, right? Not think a thing about it. Didn't smell funny, didn't look dirty, everything's cool. Then you go take a shower, you go to work, you come back the next day, and what has happened? That smoke smell of that campfire is all of a sudden permeating your whole house. You walk in and go, whoo, is something burning? And then you realize that that smoke from the campfire got into your dirty clothes, but it also got into your clean clothes. But you had desensitized yourself to that smell by being around it for so long. If you would ask me when I first come home, does everything in here smell like smoke? No. The next day, your whole house does. And that's kind of what Paul says is, undesensitize yourself. Sensitize yourself to these behaviors again. Do a little self-examination. Smell that smoke again. Let the Spirit, and that's the thing, is we have to introduce ourselves to the Spirit and say, Spirit, show this stuff in my life. Help me to work on this stuff so I even recognize it. And he goes in and he says these things. The first one is anger. He says, put off anger. Now, anger is a continuous attitude of hatred that remains bottled up inside. That's what anger is. You get really angry at something, and it turns into hatred. And that's what he says, is don't just let it live and bottled up inside. Deal with it. What does one verse says? Do not let the sun set on your anger. Why is that? Because it continues to just gnaw at you. So ask the Spirit, if there's something in my life, and again, this is a process, ask people around you, am I an angry person? Do I come across as angry? You know, sometimes it's kind of like that smoke. We don't really recognize it in ourselves. Somebody would say, you know, ask me, am I, Mark, and there's been times in my life where I've been going through some stuff, and I'll come across, and my wife or one of my kids will go, why are you so mad, Dad? What's up with you? Or my wife would say, Mark, you just seem really angry. And it's those times I'm like, you know, I didn't think I was. And you have to do a little self-examination and go, why am I? Am I? And all of a sudden you pray, God, it might be an anger, show me. And all of a sudden, you'll smell it. You'll smell that smoke. And it gets kind of clear again. And then you go into that process to alleviating that anger. Why am I holding on to that? Rage. Oh, now rage is that thing that it's that outburst of release of that anger that's uncontrollable. And that's what happens when you hold that anger inside, is it goes and goes and goes until you explode. You know, being in construction, you know what I've fixed a lot in people's homes? Holes in walls, busted doors, kicked in doors, broken windows. And it's that rage. It's not dealing with the stuff when it comes up. And Paul says here, he says, you yourselves put off these things. You know, and you know what that tells me? And you're like, Mark, but you don't understand. People just keep dumping and dumping and dumping until I just, ugh! Well, what does this verse say? You yourselves put off. It's kind of nice to know when you see that. He says, you have the control in this area. You have the control in this area. With the Spirit's leading, with the process, you can change this. And just that hope sometimes is enough. You mean I don't have to carry around this rage and this anger? Nope. There's a process of getting spiritually mature that can help you out of that. Malice is an attitude of ill will towards another person. It's that hidden hatred or that hidden envy or that hidden jealousy in the heart that takes revenge in secret. Maybe this isn't an issue for you. Or maybe you'll find yourself going, you know what? I shared something that I knew about that person, and I knew it would hurt them, but I did it anyways. That's malice. I don't take into concern the actions or the reactions before it comes out of my mouth. And you know where this comes a lot of times that I've heard it? Pastor Mark, I would really like prayer for somebody in this area. Can you pray for somebody? And that's a great lead-in for gossip and sharing something that they really shouldn't be sharing. in a way that they think, oh, how can I cover this and not be a gossip and make it look okay? Look at the intent of your heart. That's what malice is just look at the intent. Ask the Spirit to show you that smoky, maybe it's not an issue. Maybe he'll look and the Spirit will go, that's not an issue for you. Or maybe he'll say, yeah, you know, you do that. Ask other people. Hey, have I ever shared anything with you that you felt that I was just trying to hurt somebody else by, or knowing that when I told you that was going to hurt them and wondering why I did that? Would you hold me accountable to that? Would you let me know if you hear that? Slander, same thing. It's speaking ill of somebody for the purpose of hurting them. And this time, this is like spreading lies or gossips or rumors. Maybe you saw my truck down at the strip club. And instead of coming to me and going, Mark, why was your truck down at the strip club? Instead of approaching me with that, you just put out, you know, Mark was down at the strip club. I saw him down there 4 times last week. Spreading rumors and lies before you really know what's going on. I'm not saying I do that. I'm just saying that's an example of something that, you know, a rumor that could be spread. Understand there's effects to your words. And what's the intent behind it? Paul's saying, put off these things. Filthy language out of your mouth. That's sexual innuendos, cursing, swearing, telling dirty jokes, anything that is non-uplifting that comes out of your mouth. Is it beneficial? Does it build up or tear down? Ephesians 3:38 or 4:38, one of those, somewhere in there, says, let no unwholesome communication come out of your mouth, but only that which is good, that ministers grace, so that those who hear will be built up. That's it. That's what our goal should be. We should have a process that says, I want to make sure that when somebody leaves me, they were built up and not torn down by my language, whatever that is. And it's a process. Ask somebody, do you feel better when you talk to me or do you feel worse? Was the verbiage, was the content, what I said, did that make you feel better or worse when you got done talking to me? And our goal should be to build people up, whatever that looks like. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man and its deeds. Lying to one another just disrupts the unity in the body, and it destroys the trust, and it tears down relationships, and it can lead to serious conflicts. And it's so much easier to tell the truth. I remember my dad, we were talking about this in class last week when we were back there. I remember my dad telling something that his grandfather told me. He says, Emery, he goes, just tell the truth, because a lie you have to remember the rest of your life. And a truth is truth. And that was really good advice. You have to remember a lie the rest of your life. You have to try to save face. What did I tell him? What did I tell her? Rather than just letting the truth come out, and it doesn't divide and it doesn't tear people down. So we need to look at looking in and letting the Holy Spirit just sensitize us again to that smoke, that smell that's permeating us because we are in this flesh. And a lot of times we can just get so used to the things that come around us that we're not even aware of what's going on until we allow ourselves to be held accountable and open up to other people and get in that process where we're growing and growing more spiritual for the profitable things in life. Next thing we want to look at is looking around. And this was a really big thing in Paul's days. He goes into the next verses in Colossians. He says, there is neither Jew nor Greek, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian or Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ who is all in all. Now this was really huge because this came from a day where there was a lot of Jewish converts. And just before the introduction of the dispensation of grace, if you weren't Jewish, you weren't nothing. Salvation was through the Jews only. So this was really huge for Paul to go, that barrier's gone. Circumcised or uncircumcised, even in the Christian church, they were coming in and going, no, you need to go through this ritual of circumcision to be accepted. And Paul's like, no, not under grace. Circumcision or uncircumcision means nothing. And then barbarian and Scythian, even within the everybody that was not a Jew, the Jews would consider a heathen, immoral, and worthless. But even within the realm of the immoral and worthless from the Jews' eyes, in the Greeks, the barbarians and Scythians, barbarians were considered a lower class, but the Scythians were the lowest of the low. So it seems like in every section there's somebody to look down on. Slave or free, back in those days, slaves had no rights. They were property. If you owned a slave, you tell them when they could eat, when they could sleep, when they had to work, who they could marry, or if they could marry, all those things, they were property. And Paul goes to the owners of the slaves, there is no slave or free in the body of Christ. Now, bringing it in today's world, there's no rich or poor. Or if you want to look at it from the other way, there's no poor and rich. It seems like the poor look down on the rich, and the rich look down on the poor in our society. I remember I was talking with this one guy, and he saw this guy drive by in a brand new Mercedes, I think it was a 460. It was the one that anyways, it was like $165,000 car. He goes, I'd just like to stop that guy and just kill him. I'm like, wow. And he didn't even know the guy. It was just that envy for that place because he was going through a financial hard time in his life, and so anybody that had any more was just looked down onto him. And Paul's saying there is none of that financial status in our world. We tend to look at the educated and uneducated and look down our nose and, oh, you don't have a doctorate behind your name? Your name isn't Doctor so-and-so? Well, then you're not as good as I am. Right, Harl? We tend to look, and when I say we, I'm talking about our society. These were things that Paul would have said if he were in our, there's no educated and uneducated. I don't care if you have a sixth grade education and you're a triple PhD. Those are all great things to strive for, but in the body of Christ, you're not in any class. You're not better because you have initials behind your name, or that you finished college, or that you only went to sixth grade. It doesn't matter. In the body of Christ, you know what? The Spirit says, I'm going to gift you to function in the body no matter what. I don't care if you have a sixth grade education and you've been living on the street, you have just as much right to be in this place and to function within the body as somebody with a PhD. Do we function that way? Is that in your heart? Just those are things that he says, just look at, consider. There's no bosses or employees. I'm not better because I'm your boss, or you're not worse because you're my employee. It doesn't matter. Those things, those barriers are broken down. There's no racial distinctions. I know in Colorado it doesn't seem to be as prevalent, but I was just talking to actually Justin's friend, and she was saying that down in Louisiana is still very prevalent, the racial tension. And it still surprised me because we're in Colorado, it's not as in your face. But you know, there's still parts of the countries that have black and white churches that don't allow the other race in their midst. It's crazy to think about. Paul's saying there's no distinction in the body of Christ. There isn't those barriers. Christ is all in all. We don't look down on anyone. We don't have to put anybody because of their status in any fleshly thing. You know what we should be looking at is, where is your walk with the Lord, and how can you help me get to where you're at? If you're gonna look at anybody, say, you know, you have, seem to have a grip on this aspect of your life, and that's where I'm struggling. Would you help me with that? Rather than worrying about, well, I can ask him, you know, because he's a millionaire or a billionaire or he's my boss or whatever barrier that you put there. It's who you are in the Lord. So in the last 4 weeks, we've talked about looking up. We've been raised with Christ and seated with him in the heavenlies. We've looked at looking out, a whole list of things that Paul says, these things have no value. You don't even have to worry about, is this profitable or not? He says, these certain things are not profitable. And the sooner you can get rid of them in your life, the sooner you can get that miry clay off of you, the better off your life's going to be. And it's a process, again. But these are the things to look out for. Look in. Are you asking the Spirit to just come inside and desensitize you to the flesh? Desensitize you to the world? What have I grown accustomed to that I don't even smell anymore? Look around. Are you putting barriers between each other because of stuff that God doesn't care about? Are you saying, well, you know, I don't want to sit with him because fill in the blank. Are you doing that? Just ask the Spirit to sensitize you to that. And when we break free from the past, we can look up, look out, look in, look around. And when we do that, we have freedom. We have freedom in Christ. And that's the thing, that's everything is lawful for me, but not everything is profitable. And he says, in the next couple of verses, therefore, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. But above all these, put on love, which is the perfect bond, or which is the bond of perfection. These are things that you don't have to worry. Just like that list he gave that said these things are not profitable, you need to get them out of your life as soon as you can. Here's a list of things that he says, these things are profitable. These things are what you should have in your life. The sooner you can get rid of those things, and the sooner you can put on these things, the closer to me you're going to be able to become. Not that you have to do anything, but if we're looking at profitability, those things are going to tear you up and take away your joy, your relationship with God, and these things are going to make you stronger and more fit to live in this world. And we've broken free from the past. This is what our life will represent. And we should ask those same questions. Do I represent love to you? Is there anything that's between us? Because guess what? Sometimes I get clay on me. And sometimes when I have that clay on me, I can wound you. But just know that's not my heart. And if there's anything that I've done to you, I want to ask your forgiveness and understand that I'm not perfect. So if there's anything that you're holding on to in these areas, just get down on your knees with the Lord. Go to the people in the church and say, if there's something between us, I want it to end. Because that bond of love is the perfect bond of unity. So keep looking up, looking out, looking in, and looking around.